Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Yeah.
Chris McMichael.
On the fan. McMonagle here with you on a football Friday. Taking your calls for the next 3 hours, 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. And we got a lot to get to on this football Friday. We're going to start with the football. We will get to, obviously, the huge national shaking foundation of sports itself story at the gambling issue inside the NBA. We will get to it. We'll get to the Rangers. Can't win at home. But we got to start with a Football Friday in the New York Giants. It's still Football Friday. And this is a huge week for the New York Giants. A big week for the quarterback, who I just heard, you know, Keith play more from Matthew Stafford as he's being praised and having his, you know, let's be honest, his butt kissed all over the NFL. All over the NFL. Linebackers and edge rushers he's played against. Quarterbacks, Hall of Fame level quarterbacks, Super Bowl champion quarterbacks, defensive coordinators he's going against here for the second time in 2 weeks. Everybody high on Jackson Dart. Everybody noticing how he's uplifted this team. This is the biggest, toughest spot for Jackson Dart in many ways. Like, it's the coach, it's the quarterback. I haven't shut up, as many of you like to point out, about the coach and the quarterback relationship. And obviously, in many ways, this game against Philadelphia, going on the road, trying to accomplish a feat that I believe they haven't done since 2007, and beat the Eagles twice in a year, that's how, even in championship seasons, they don't do this, for the most part. Like, it's been a long time since they've had dominance over the Philadelphia Eagles. And you are coming off a brutal loss where not only did you give up 19-point lead. Not only did you give up 33 points in the fourth quarter, not only was it a disastrous loss to your chances to compete for a division, get back into a playoff position, everything along that, it's also a game where everything is questioned. The defensive coordinator is questioned. Obviously, the head coach is questioned. Even the quarterback, who, everyone's kissing his ass a little bit, but that brutal interception, which was the beginning and the turning point of losing a game that you can't lose, that 1,652 people games have consist, you know, have back to back have not lost. You know, you don't lose a game 1,652 times in a row, up 18 points with 6 minutes left. You win consecutively. That's the word I was looking for. And now they have to turn this right around. The coach has to get them up for this game. The coach has to be able to tell Dexter Lawrence, who is talking about it all week, that it's difficult to get over that game. A defensive coordinator and a defense, right, that's going to be missing some key figures. Still guys who haven't practiced. Still missing defensive backs against an Eagles defense that kind of found something in the passing game last week. Burns, their best pass rusher, still hasn't practiced. And this coach who's under fire, right, who him and this quarterback are a tandem, but the fan base still thinks he's lousy. You still have to wonder whether or not how many games he has to win. Just lost a game that coaches don't lose, and the Giants have been experts at it. Let's be fair, as much as you can come away with different feelings about the game, it's okay for us to talk about it. It's okay for, you know, the fans to feel a certain way, but ultimately, let's be honest, the Giants, under Brian Daboll and before Brian Daboll, the Giants have had a tendency of not being able to close out games, not knowing how to win. And yes, that comes with a rookie quarterback sometimes, but this coach has been here for years, and this quarterback is the toast of the town, and yet they're finding ways to blow games that they can't lose. They found a way to lose a Cowboy game they can't lose. They found a way to lose a Bronco game they can't lose. They found a way to lose a game against the New Orleans Saints, who aren't very good, by turning the ball over 5 consecutive series. And this coach has to get this team who felt something from this quarterback, right? I've talked about the special. We've talked about how he's uplifted the team. You hear Sean Payton say, well, they found a spark. You just heard in the clip that Keith played from Matthew Stafford. They've really found something, and he's given them a boost. Like, boost and star and you know, all the different things. The way we've talked about it all week. The way he's able to elevate this team, both offensively and defensively. And how different they've looked. And the energy that him and Scatterboo brought. And how it was really on the forefront the last time we saw them play this Eagles team. This is a spot where that special that I keep referring to, the ability to uplift the team that we haven't seen in forever since Eli Manning days, like, that ability is on the line and under question more than we've had it so far. This is going to be the first time he's going to play a defense that has seen him. This is going to be the first time that this new offense is going up against the defensive group and a Super Bowl champion that you embarrassed the last time and that has already seen you, has tape on you, was on the field there, and knew exactly how you handled things, have gone up against this run game, have seen Jackson Dart operate. And he has to get this team up, him and the coach, that are the future. He's the future, him and the relationship of the coach. We're going to find out if that's the future. They have to be uplifters to a higher level than they have before. This is a game where I know I like to yap about the coach, right? And he needs to come back, the relationship with the quarterback. You know, I don't care about anything prior to this. You know, Brian Daboll's done a great job. He handpicked this kid. Look what the kid's doing. He drafted him. He's the one who wanted him playing before anybody else wanted him playing. Some of us inside the organization, there was a battle between it. He was the one who stomped the table. He was the one who pounded the table to make sure he got drafted. He's the one who wanted to start him against the Chargers. He's the one who him and this kid have changed everything. Well, this is the first real test of where this is now about coaching. This is clearly about adjustments going up against the Eagles team you just went against 2 weeks ago. This is about finding a way to get a group that has, unfortunately, most of them, experienced losses. Like last week against Denver. All right, maybe not as crazy. Maybe not as, you know, 19 points in the fourth quarter. But they just experienced it against the Cowboys in a gut-wrenching loss. They have more last-second field goals kicked against them than any team in the NFL over the last 5 years. Like, they have had this happen to them before. This is a group tired of losing. This is a group that it felt like, with this new quarterback and new offense, there was some sort of level of expectation that it wouldn't happen. And now it got thrown into their face in an incredibly, incredible way that it's hard to get over. And so to me, as much as I like to talk about the coach and quarterback relationship, and that's why Brian Daboll should be back, it's important to see what he gets out of this group. It's important what kind of effort they're going to give you coming off that game in Denver, going back on the road to a Super Bowl-level opponent, an opponent that knows them well, an opponent they haven't lost to twice, they haven't beat twice in a season in damn near 2 decades, and an opponent that scored some points through the passing game last week against Minnesota, kind of found themselves a little bit, and is looking to exact a little bit of revenge and has already been on the field. This is a game about adjustments. This is a game about is it more than just, we're going to throw some different things at you. You haven't seen Jackson Dart yet. This offense looks different than it did clearly last year at any point. It looks different than it did with Russell Wilson. Jackson Dart brings a new element. We're able to roll in some different things. Well, now they've seen all that. And you probably put your best offensive performance yet against them 2 weeks ago. Can you duplicate it? Can this team come out and give the Eagles a game? Now, they're 7.5-point underdogs. I don't know the expectation of winning this game. And we talked about it going into the Denver game these next 2 weeks leading up. And this week, unfortunately, is not the week we all wanted. It's not the week of beating Denver and going 3-4 and being one game under 500. At 3-4, and heading into to play an Eagles team where you could thrust yourself right into the conversation about the division. It's a different week. It's a week trying to figure out what kind of team you are and what kind of fight you have in you. And can this defense recover from giving up 33 points in the fourth quarter? Can this defense recover from all the questions about their unhappiness about the play call or the defensive coordinator? Or we watch, you know, guys who are supposed to be important to this team, like Banks, first-round picks, end up just being terrible in the game. And guys, they're still going to have to rely on, as injuries are still there for them. Because I'll tell you, my opinion, and I've talked about this, the coach, the quarterback, if they come out and get drubbed, if they come out and Jackson Dart's not as effective because he's playing against the team who's seen him, and the Giants coaching staff is unable to make adjustments, if this team, off of that loss, is unable to get that inspiration that it found with this young quarterback, and they fall flat in a game against Philadelphia, if they go into Philly and just get their ass kicked from the jump, well, now you start to have that conversation, for me, where it changes your thought about the coach. It changes your thought about the ability to make adjustments. It wouldn't necessarily change my thought about the quarterback. I think Jackson Dart has proved enough and shown enough that he's clearly got ability to play in this league. But that relationship that I deem so important starts to take hits if they can't come back from games like that. His ability to lift the team is part of what makes him special. He needs to do it this week. This is the toughest test yet. I know we keep having them because the schedule was tough. And bringing in Philadelphia home felt like a challenge. Certainly going on the road against one of the best defenses in the league felt like a big-time challenge. And even though they lost it, in many ways, they rose to the challenge. In many ways, they were the better team that game. In many ways, for the first three quarters, they took it to the Broncos. In many ways, for the first three quarters, and yeah, you got to play a full game. You can't erase what happened in the fourth quarter. I'm not trying to. But I'm saying in many ways, the defense played one of its best games. And we could talk about, like I saw reports that you can blame the coach for the defense being out of gas at the end of the game, especially in Mile High. Camp was light work. He didn't push these guys. Like, all of these questions, when you start losing games the way they lost against Denver, everything, despite the quarterback play, despite the fact that he's kind of taken the league by storm, despite the fact the coach is linked to him, you lose games like that, that's when the questions start to come. That's when you have to prove yourself in an NFL that feels like you have to prove yourself on a week-to-week basis. And yeah, this now becomes a transitional season once you bring in the rookie quarterback. And for a fleeting moment, we thought maybe it could be something different. And if they go win this football game, maybe we convince ourselves that it is something different. And we start to have that conversation again about throwing themselves in the mix as Daniels is hurt in Washington, as the Cowboys have a tough game this week. Maybe we do start to throw ourselves into that conversation as Minnesota's kind of taking themselves out of being a playoff team. Maybe we do. But right now, it's still about developing this quarterback. It's about the coach-quarterback relationship. And for a coach that's under fire, who half, if not more, of the fan base wants jettisoned, everyone wants him out, he's got to show that he can do something that's very difficult in this league. Get a team up. Get a team that's traditionally lost here. Get a team that over the last 2 years with this head coach has fallen apart and had miserable, ugly losing seasons. Guys who have been here, and I know Scataboo and Dart like to talk about how they weren't here, that they're not part of the failures of the previous couple years, that they aren't part of the offensive woes inside the red zone, that they're ushering in a new era of Giant football. That they're ushering this new era of, you know, it's not about what we did before. It's about the future. And these two young kids are bringing the enthusiasm. And it's changed in so many ways. Yes, the first three quarters in Denver changed a lot and looked a lot different than what we've seen from the Giants. But that fourth quarter and blowing games late and finding ways to lose, that has been a Giants issue dating back many years. And it came up even in this new regime. So if Jackson Dart wants to talk about how things are changing, if Scataboo wants to talk about how things are changing and he wants to go to Knick games and he wants to be on the cover of the newspaper flexing, if he wants to be the toast of the town, if they want to change everything around this team, the next step is to show up in Philadelphia and play a damn good football game and continue to do what you do offensively and continue to be successful in the red zone and continue to have drives down the field and continue to get off to good starts offensively with first touchdown drives three out of these four games. And continue to show that not only are you a quarterback with tools who can make plays with a wide receiving core that isn't any good. And I know we spent a lot of time on yesterday, the actual talent around Jackson Dart. But prove more than you're just the quarterback who has some tools, who's developing, who can become special in this league. And try and show us what we've all kind of seen, that it's not only the tools, that it's not only the ability to run and the ability to throw, but it's more about the instant impact that he's had on the team. Because there are quarterbacks who have immense talent that don't impact their team. And what we've seen from the jump of this new Jackson Dart era is not only is he successful, not only does he score touchdowns, not only does he put drives together, and not only did this offense immediately click with whatever he's doing, the play calling of Kafka, the scheme of this head coach, it instantly clicked the minute he took over. He also rose, he took the entire offensive line, he took this wide receiving core, and he took this run game, and he even took the defense to a new level, and the entire team played in a different fashion. We could argue that their hopes of making a real competitive run at a playoff spot ended in Denver in the fourth quarter. What can't end in the fourth quarter in Denver is the promise we've seen and the ability to raise the game and the Giants to play like a different football team and to not look like the joke of the NFL that when you welcome into your building, as Denver did, you schedule all the honors and you have your former greats there and you have the dedications into the Ring of Honor. That's what you do when the Giants come to town. That's what you do. That's what Denver did. And that's what you do typically when the New York Football Giants come to town. That still needs to change. No matter what the standings say, no matter how many wins are in their back pocket, no matter what the outlook for the rest of the year is, this team has to continue to show that they are a fight when they show up in your building. That this isn't what it used to be, that they're going to punch you in the mouth, they're going to run the football down your throat, and they've got a quarterback who can make plays down the field, can make plays with his legs, who's impossible to bring down, who has great pocket awareness, and who is going to elevate the entire team around him. I am still looking for that win, loss, or tie against Philadelphia come this Sunday. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm looking at the quarterback and the coach. Can you uplift this team? And for the coach, can you get them off the deck after what had to be a crushing loss out in Denver? 888-808-1019. As I said, we will get to the gambling story and how it impacts the NBA moving forward, how it impacts, you know, us, how it impacts this gambling world that we've all, in the last handful of years, become accustomed to and most of us have become a part of. Well, you know, it's a football Friday. We do picks. This is what we are. And the shocking nature and yet the unshocking nature of a professional athlete who makes the money that Terry Rozier makes, or a coach who had the legacy and the money, but the legacy that he put on the line for a poker game and how it's intertwined with the mafia. It is just, you know, it broke early yesterday morning just as I was leaving, you know, to go home. The morning show had it, and it's just one of those stories that as it got rolling all day and the different elements to it, and then, you know, you're reading the complaints, and even Chauncey Billups is a part of possibly, that, you know, they call him conspirator number 8, and he's, you know, he played the years that Billups played. He coached the year that Billups coached. He's given information about tanking and whether or not they're going to play some guys and giving early information. Well, where do these feel like? Not necessarily one-offs, because I don't think anyone would think they're one-offs, but is this enough to make you feel like this cuts to the core of whether or not the sport is on the level? That's really the question, because that's where we lie here. Are the games legit and on the level, or are they not? And does what happened yesterday and what we will continue to hear unfold throughout the weeks here, does that make you question whether or not the sport is on the level? Did it take it to that height, just giving information about injuries, or, you know, one player taking himself out of a game and letting people know about it? is this any worse than the Donaghy referee gambling scandal? Does it impact it that now sports betting is legal? These are all questions we're going to be debating back and forth with for a while now after the shocking nature of what we found out yesterday. 888-808-1019. So we start with a Football Friday as usual. We'll talk Giants. Obviously, we'll talk Jets. Maybe by tomorrow's Saturday show, I'll find out who the quarterback is for the Jets and we can actually break down the game. That'd be nice. But we'll talk Jets as they play a game that they've got to... Again, is Joe Flacco going to beat them? Is Joe Flacco going to put up back-to-back weeks like this? Ugh. Ugh.